And it is today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Is that the Beach Boys?
I think so. Can't miss it.
Up and down and hope you toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables card off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
And it's Food and Dining Thursday. I'm here with chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. Also, my longtime friend and colleague Fred Tasker is with us, along with Bonnie Berman. And we'll spend today the full hour talking about the celebrated South Beach Wine and Food Festival. And Linda, you have some interesting guests with us today.
I sure do. Hi, Joe, and hi, Bonnie.
Hey, Linda.
Nice to be with you.
Did you like the Beach Boys?
I love that. That was good.
Not one of their better-known songs.
Why? Vegetables? I'm surprised at you.
Thanks to our colleague Ed Bell for providing us with that.
Yeah. Well, we're in Cooking Central this weekend. South Beach Festival starts today, and we have some top festival stars with us. Anne Burrell, she's the co-host of Worst Cooks in America, and her latest program is Chef Wanted. Welcome, Anne Burrell.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I could probably star on that program. I can't even make dinner in minutes.
Well, talk to Anne, okay? And country music artist and Grammy Award winner Tricia Yearwood is with us. She's the host of the Food Network's Tricia's Southern Kitchen. Welcome, Tricia Yearwood.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And it's a packed program because later on today, we'll be talking with Mark Murphy. He's the regular judge on the hit show Chopped. And Ben Ford, he's the chef owner of Ford's Filling Station in Culver City, California. And they're both entering the Burger Bash, so we're going to have our own Burger Bash right here. And I understand that Anne Burrell is a judge at the Burger Bash.
Right. So they can kiss up to me right now. It would be a good time.
Well, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions for Anne Burrell or for Tricia Yearwood? Call us. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Also with us, as you heard, is our favorite wine guide. That's Fred Tasker. And you can read Fred's column in today's Miami Herald. Welcome, Fred.
Hello. I'm going to talk about how you should act if you go to the wine tasting.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
A few very handy tips.
What, people get rowdy?
They are drinking, you know.
In so the hot sun, you know.
So decorum for the festival.
Right.
At least a minimum of it, yes.
Okay.
Tricia Yearwood, cooking and singing, you're a master at both. You'll be hosting the Southern Kitchen Brunch on Sunday. So tell us, what's your favorite brunch dish?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm embarrassed that as a recording artist that I did not know that the Beach Boys had a song about vegetables. I need to look into that. I just had no idea. I love Anne. Anne, I love you. You know I love you. She's a great chef, and I am sort of like, you know, a Chick Singer cook, and so I have such respect for what is going to be happening in Miami this weekend. And I really think that anything can be brunch, you know. So if you just wake up too late, then you just, you know, it's whatever you decide you want it to be.
I agree with that. This is Anne. I agree with that. And I'm also a fan of an egg anyhow, anyway, anytime. It doesn't have to be for breakfast or brunch.
Like, absolutely.
I like to have brunch usually around 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
See, now that's my girl. I like that. We did decide, since it is Miami, that we were going to come up with something that could be sort of kind of go with the territory. And I make a key lime cake. That is kind of one of my signature things that I make for a lot of birthdays and stuff, and it's really great because it's bright green and it's, you know, got the great tart flavor and a cream cheese frosting. And so I don't know if it's really a brunchy thing, but we're having it.
I agree, but also cake is good for any time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I like to have cake for breakfast a lot too.
Well, your husband is singer Garth Brooks. Does he cook or does he just eat?
You know, he does both. He does. He's the whatever it takes guy. He's a cowboy. So if I come in and say, you know what, I got nothing, he's like, I'll cook. And I tend to follow the recipes of my mom and my grandparents. And I'm a little more, have learned to experiment a little more in the last few years. But he's the guy who will say, let's try this combination of stuff. And I have to say, I hate to say it because he's listening to me, but he never makes a mistake. You know, he'll just throw everything together in a pot and it'll taste great. So he makes a really great pasta salad. He makes a kind of a taco pizza that he made up himself. Most of his recipes are Garth originals, but they're all really good.
I saw
on
your
doghouse. Are you? Did you do something wrong? Are you trying to make up for something just to blow him up a little bit?
Nah, he's pretty perfect.
I saw on your website that he makes a pretty good breakfast in the morning.
He does, and this is funny to me because I've got, you know, two cookbooks out now, and everybody always asks about this amazing Garth recipe, which is basically anything you could possibly have for breakfast. Just assembled. It's an assembly rather than a recipe. So he started out one day just by putting, I think he put, like, you know, tater tots in the bottom or hash browns, and then he layers it with eggs and cheese and bacon and sausage. And
then he
decided tortellini would be a good mix, and that's the joke in our house, that when in doubt, he adds tortellini. So I don't let him bake because I don't know how that would be in a cake, but, you know. It could be good. Who knows? And right. You could come up with something, maybe.
Geez, it sounds like a little throwdown there. My mind is reeling right now.
Yeah, it's a meal, and then you sleep for a couple of days, and then the next day you have like a grape, and you're all balanced.
All right.
So, Tricia Yearwood, you're going to also be giving a cooking demonstration at the Grand Tasting Tent on Sunday. So, what are you going to be making?
I am. I'm going to do a couple of things. Of all the things cooking wise that I have done, which are all a little bit out of my comfort zone, because I cook in the kitchen, but I all this other stuff is kind of new to me. The cooking demo is the thing that I'm most intimidated by. Just trying to, because it's a lot of multitasking, you know, and I'll tend to forget one major ingredient if I'm doing a lot of talking and stuff while I'm cooking. But that's what that's all is about. So I'm making a couple of things. I'm doing a baked spaghetti in my house with three girls. I like to make things that are dishes that are easy and you can have left over. And so it's really just a pasta that has meat and cheese and cream of mushroom soup and spaghetti, just a really simple dish that's a really good casserole. And then I'm going to make my grandma's old-fashioned strawberry shortcake, where the cake is actually more of a, it's not super sweet. It's not actually kind of more related to a biscuit than it is a cake, and kind of the way that she used to do it back in the day.
Wow, that sounds great. And by the way, to our listeners, there are still tickets available for the Sunday Grand Tasting, when she's going to be making all these yummy things. Now, Anne Burrell, you've been at the festivals many times. And Tricia, do you have any questions for her? Some tips on what's going to be like for you?
I just would wonder if Anne would like to do my cooking demo for me.
I'd love to do your demo.
I could taste a hamburger while you were doing that, maybe something like that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be judging Burger Bash on Friday night, so I'm going to be tasting a lot of burgers, so I'm not going to need any burgers by Sunday. But really, I love demoing, and I always say I give good demo.
You do. I've seen you. You do.
But it's just about have fun with it, and I always like to include the audience with questions, and they don't care that much about what you're making. They just want their time with you. And so I try to engage them as much as I can. And if I hear myself like talking for too long about too much, I'm like, yikes, this is kind of boring. So I always tease people. I get them involved, questions, and then we do a little food on the side.
You know, that's a good question. How many burgers do you have to eat in something like that?
Well, they've restructured it, thank God. I mean, the first year I judged the Burger Bash, I had to try 22 burgers. And if there had been a 23rd burger, there was no way that I could have, you know, like just one bite of each one, and you decide real quick whether you like
that's
it or not.
That's the equivalent of about six burgers, I guess.
Oh, I was just like, I felt like I needed to be hosed off after that.
I guess you can't sip and spit the way we do with wine.
No. But they've restructured it so all the judges taste about, I think, six or seven, and then we pick out our favorite and then taste the top six.
Great. Tricia, did you have another question for Anne?
I do have a question. One of the other things that I'm intimidated by, again, I always preface, I'm a cook, I'm a chick singer, but I'm impressed with the thought of being, you talk a lot about on your show about, you know, what it's like in the restaurant, and I've done one situation in my career where I cooked for 250 people, but I had the help of a chef school. They did our menu, and we, you know, cooked, and they really did all the work, and I kind of supervised. And it was so not what I loved, you know? And I thought, I think if I ran a restaurant or worked in the kitchen in that capacity, cooking that kind of a volume of food, I think it might take the love of food. I think you probably have to have a really specific personality to love that. And I guess I'm curious as to if you like that, and if it, because you seem to, you do so well, you seem to really thrive in there. Is it something that you just, is a challenge for you that, or is it something that you, because I think it would make me not love to cook.
It takes a special person to be able to commit your life to a restaurant. I mean, it, when wherever anybody got the idea that being a chef is glamorous, I have no idea where that came from. I mean, it is physically demanding. It's hard. It's standing up. It's managing silly situations. It's managing incredibly stressful situations. It's but if it's that's the energy that you love, then I mean, I love it. I really enjoy that, and I really enjoy sort of the stress and adrenaline of it. But so some people ask me, I mean, I sort of get this kind of question a lot where people are like, I love to cook. I don't think I want to go to culinary school. And I say, go to work in a restaurant first, because if you don't love it, it does take the love out of what you're doing.
Sure.
You know, I notice that when you're cooking on television, you seem to be so happy and just, you know, slapping food around and that kind of thing. But then you get onto the Worst Cook show and you have to turn all stern and everything. How do you make that transition?
Well, I mean, I am a happy girl, but the restaurant is a stressful place. I mean, you know, there's two sides to every coin.
Do you ever have a bad hair day?
No. So that's, I never have a bad hair day, because you can't tell if my hair is a mess or it's supposed to look this way.
That was the question I was going to ask you. And Burrell, your spiky blonde hair, and she's, I want everyone to know, because this is not television, she's here in the studio with her spiky blonde hair and headphones over it.
Right, exactly. I had to like stretch them all the way out to the end so they fit over my hair.
Well, I asked you a couple of years ago if you related to Lisa Simpson, the daughter of Homer Simpson.
And, I am, yes.
And you said that you did.
Yep, mm-hmm. We're related.
That's great.
Well, Tricia Yearwood, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go to a break now, and I understand that you have another engagement. So we really appreciate your taking the time to be with us, and I want to wish you good luck at the festival this weekend.
Well, thank you. I listen to you a lot, Linda. I'm a big NPR fan, and so this has been a real thrill for me, and I look forward to the weekend, and I will see you there, Anne.
I look forward to seeing you, too. Hooray.
Great. Well, and thanks for the compliment. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Anne Burrell from the Food Network and Tricia Yearwood. Good luck to both of you at the festival.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more.
So food, talking about soulful food, candied yams, hot biscuits, and big fat juicy hams.
Don't roll those eyes at me, don't kiss me tenderly. Just sit me down and serve me sirloin steak and chocolate cake. Just feed me until I want no more, 'cause the way to my heart is through my stomach. Don't smile and stroke my hair, don't whisper in my ear.
It's Topical Kearns, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gastenheimer, Fred Tasker, and guests. What are we listening to, Bonnie?
We're listening to Feed Me by John Hendricks. We were listening to Feed Me by John Hendricks. And what we heard at the end of the last segment was something called Home Cookin' by Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. You really went to town
today.
Well,
you're back, Linda.
Yes, we are.
It's your big day. You got the full hour.
Full hour, and we have Anne Burrell with us, and she's just as charming as ever.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice to have you in the studio this time, Anne Burrell. Last time we were by phone, so it's nice to have you in person. You're going to be hosting a special event Saturday night as part of the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. Tell us about it. It's called Diamond Dishes?
Yes, Diamond Dishes, Saturday night at Marlins Stadium. I'm so very excited. So last year all the boys did it. This year all the girl chefs are doing it.
All right. Okay. Tell us more about what is the event about?
So this is, let's see, this one's celebrating girl chefs. Last year, the boys team was at it. So girls are here this year and there's amazing chefs, April Bloomfield, Michelle Bernstein, Stephanie Izzard, a whole bunch of them.
Women's sommelier.
Yes.
And, it's going to be right on the field,
grass. Right? I know. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't think that it would be right on the field. I thought it would be sort of like overlooking the field, but I'm getting my sneakers already.
So what do you do exactly?
I'm the manager, so that means I get someone to walk around and tell everyone they did a great job.
Okay.
Well, so you're not cooking?
Nope, not this one.
All right.
The girl chefs might be able to beat the Marlins.
Oh.
I hope the Marlins weren't listening to that, Joseph Cooper.
Some of them are kind of big, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, I understand also Julie Loria. She's the wife of the Marlins owner, Jeffrey Loria. She's going to be hosting a reception at the Clevelander, which is a bar at the Marlins Stadium. She has a book out, and it's called Diamond Dishes, with recipes from the men last year.
Oh, boy.
But that book is still for sale, and it's available at most book outlets. And the net proceeds go to the Mayor's Fund for New York City Hurricane Relief and Hurricane Relief Efforts for the Food Bank of New York City. So lots of good things going on there. So, Anne Bureau, we've been talking about your spiky blonde hair. What's the story here about it?
I've always sort of had wild hair, and it's this kind of evolved, and it just kind of keeps getting bigger, and I just keep rolling with it. So I, you know, people ask me, have you ever thought of changing your hair? And I was like, not really so much. I think if I did, people wouldn't recognize me.
That's for sure. You're not in, well, when I saw you come in the studio down the hallway, I knew who it was.
Right. I get that a lot.
And you're not in competition with Guy Fieri with his spiky
hair?
Oh,
no. Mine's bigger and better. And
well,
I had mine first.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I'm
glad
the
to
original.
Hear that. All righty. Okay, your show, your new program is Chef Wanted. So what's the concept of the show?
Chef Wanted is the toughest job interview I think that there is. It's we go to real restaurants that are looking for an executive chef. I mean, they are.
So this is real.
This
true.
Is a true job
uh-huh.
interview.
Okay.
So we scout out chefs that are looking for jobs, and we bring four of them to the restaurant. We put them through some really tough challenges to weed two of them out straight away. And
that's
then,
before they go on the show? Or
nope.
On the show, they're
on the
about.
Show. They do two tests, like one, then somebody gets sent home. And the second test, someone gets sent home. The final two people each get to write a menu and work with the staff and serve that menu in the restaurant. They get to run the restaurant for a night.
So they work with the staff in the restaurant
mm-hmm.
itself.
And we serve the regular customers and that kind of stuff. And whoever is the most successful at it actually gets hired for the job.
So what are the pitfalls that those people don't make it? What are chefs, the big mistakes that they make?
Well, I mean, time management is always a huge thing. And, I mean, not everybody is right for every job. So this is why we're looking to put them to the test to see who's the best fit for the restaurant. You know, just because you can cook food doesn't mean you're the right person for this food. It might be a Mexican restaurant. It might be a steakhouse. It might be an Italian place. So, you know, we need someone who really feels passionate about that kind of food and who can work with the staff, who can teach, who can delegate, who can manage, and, of course, work well under pressure.
I think working with the staff is really so important because if they don't get their team in order, nothing's going to happen.
No chef can do anything by themselves. I mean, it's kind of like what Tricia was talking about, like, you know, that she worked with some students that helped her out a lot. No chef can do everything. And so the idea is that you're the captain of the ship, and so you need to delegate and teach people how to do their job and what you're looking for, what your mission is. And get people to rally around and to carry out your mission, your vision.
Because I find down here in Miami that a lot of really famous chefs come down here and they open up the restaurants and all, but no one's really pulling that team together to make it really go.
I can't comment
on Miami chefs. And that'd be just as well because you're here and, you know, whatever. So, okay. You have another show, The Secrets of a Restaurant Chef?
Secrets of a Restaurant Chef, yes. Sadly, is no longer in production, but it's on the Food Network every day at 2 o'clock.
And yes. So what were the secrets?
Well, there's lots of secrets. I mean, there's just not one secret. There's many, many secrets. But it's really about how to make restaurant-quality food in your home and to show people it's not rocket science. It is approachable. You can do it. You can get everything ready all at the same time. It's basically a how to cook.
So then you have another show. I don't know how you do all of this. What do you do in your spare time, Anne Bruno?
I wish I had some. I don't know. I don't ever have to think about that. My hair, maybe.
Oh, all right. That doesn't look like you take a lot of time on that.
Oh, thank you.
Major compliment there.
We've had colleagues walking by our studio through the glass doing double takes.
So tell me something. Worst cooks in America.
I sort of have the spectrum covered at the Food Network. I mean, we go from Chef Wanted, who are professional chefs looking for a job, and then we dial it back a whole lot to the worst cooks in America, which, I mean, they know they are the worst cooks, so I'm not being insulting by saying that. But so what that is people that are just hopelessly bad home cooks. I like to call them the lovable losers. And it's myself and another chef. So this year it happens to be Bobby Flay. We each get a team of these people.
Wait, Bobby Flay's not the worst cook.
No, he's not.
She hesitated.
She says with a cheeky grin. No, Bobby Flay is an amazing cook.
I thought she was talking about my ex-wife.
Oh,
there we go.
How do you find the worst cooks in America?
Well, they either nominate themselves or their friends and family nominate them. Okay. I mean, they're really hopelessly bad in the kitchen.
Boy, what an honor that would be to not be nominated for that.
Right? I know. But so what we do is we teach them. And it's... You know, we give them a series of challenges, and every episode, one person from each team gets sent home. And then we're each left with one person that cooks for a panel of food critics in a restaurant kitchen, a restaurant quality meal. And the winner gets $25,000. They are a better cook, but the rub here is that it's also a competition between me and the other chef to see who's the better teacher.
Right?
Mm. So the whole idea is that we really do want to teach them, and it's really lovely. Like, they dig deep and they make this transformation, and it really is a sweet show. I mean, it's hard, but it's the way they
but
really
it's hard to cook in a restaurant kitchen as opposed
yes,
to your home. I mean, people don't realize. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I love to cook, as you mentioned before, and I want to be a chef and all that. But a restaurant kitchen is something else.
Well, that's why there's a big fat check at the end.
Sounds good to me. Well, Anne Burrell, it's been really wonderful having you here. And, you know, enjoy Miami while you're here, because you came down here from New York.
I did. So, but yes, everyone watch Chef Wanted on Food Network Thursdays at 10 o'clock. And Worst Cooks is on 9 o'clock on Sundays. So, yeah, we got a busy month going on.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Food Network stars. First, we had on Tricia Yearwood. And now Anne Burrell, and good luck to you at the festival.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests in the first half of the show were country music artist and Grammy Award winner Tricia Yearwood, and she's the host of the Food Network's Southern Kitchen, and she's going to be hosting the South Beach Festival Sunday brunch. And also with us was Food Network star Anne Burrell. She'll be hosting the Diamond Dishes event at the Marlins Stadium Saturday night. And she's going to also be a judge at the Burger Bash. And now with us is Ben Ford. And Ben Ford is the chef at Ford's Filling Station in Culver, isn't it?
Culver City.
Thank you very much, Ben Ford. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And you're going to be at the Burger Bash. And we're waiting for Mark Murphy, who's a regular judge on the show Chopped. And we're still contacting him.
That's all right. You know, the New York guys are always a little bit late in the show as far as burgers were concerned, you know.
The bash has already started.
Yeah, we started putting stuff on toppings on burgers a long time ago. And I remember those New York guys kind of poking fun at us and saying, you know, what is avocado doing on a burger? But, you know, now we all get to kind of compete and mix it up a little bit. It's going to be fun.
Okay, so I gave your name to Anne Burrell, one of the judges. So,
oh, good.
Yes, right.
Good. I have T-shirts for them, too. If anybody wants T-shirts, I just need sizes.
Okay, great. And now we've got Mark Murphy's now joined us. And Mark, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to have you with us. And we were just talking about the fact that Anne Burrell was on in the early part of the show, and she's going to be one of the judges at the Burger Bash.
Oh, she is?
Yes,
uh-oh,
she is.
So that's who we need to pay off?
Exactly. So go find her. Whatever.
Yeah, I said I bring T-shirts. I don't know what you're bringing, Mark.
cash. It works better.
Yeah. All right. So I want to know, first of all, so let's tell our listeners that
The Burger Bash is tomorrow night, Friday night. It's part of the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. And let's paint a picture for our listeners that this is held on the beach under a tent, and there's some 30-odd chefs make cooking burgers. So you enter the tent, and the aroma of burgers cooking is there. And everyone's going around and tasting it. So now, Mark Murphy, I think have you been at the Burger Bash before?
Yes, I was there 2 years ago, actually, or maybe it was 3 years. Yeah, 2 years ago. We won the judges' choice we got last time. We did a burger. It was called the Big Mark at the time.
Big Market?
Big Mark.
Oh, Big Mark. Okay.
Big Mark, yes.
So what are you making this year?
We thought it was kind of funny. This year we're making a smoked burger. It's going to be a burger. We did a smoked aioli. We made a sweet potato bun with jalapenos in it. And we're doing a smoked coleslaw as well.
So you're going to smoke
I had a burger like that at White Castle when I was a kid.
Yeah, right. Oh, there we go. Uh-oh, there's already trash talking going on.
I want to know what smoked coleslaw is.
What we did was we took all the, we caramelized onions and smoked them, and then we're folding those into a slaw that we're pickling a little bit.
Okay.
And then we're doing we got a really nice smoked salt as well that we're going to be seasoning the burgers with.
Smoked salt.
Wow, so Ben Ford?
Yeah.
You've heard your competition here. So
I think it's interesting. I said earlier, I remember, Mark, when we started putting avocados on burgers out kind of my neck of the woods, and everyone was poking fun. Now the guys were smoking salts and stuff. But
no comment here. This is National Public Radio.
It's a friendly competition, you know, so let's get it started a little bit. I'm doing a lamb burger. With a smoked tomato chutney. It's sort of a Moroccan tomato ketchup in some ways, and a little goat cheese, and we're siding with a celery root slaw.
You're a California guy. There's no sour cream involved, right?
You know, there might be a tablespoon here or there, but no, probably not. I like lamb because it's a great medium for a burger. You know, you can work with different seasonings that you normally wouldn't with beef. Kind of with beef, you're always pushing the beef flavor with lamb. You can kind of take a little bit more liberty with it, and you can spice it a little bit more. And it's a great vehicle, a lot of fun to play with.
Well, now the whole point for the guest would be to try a lot of different burgers. How big do you make these things?
We're doing slider size burgers. I think we have the option of doing that or quartering up regular size burgers. And I can definitely understand someone's desire to do the larger burgers. You can cook it more to the temperature that you like, and you can. There's certain integrity to a whole burger, but you know, for the sake of the guests and quickness and ease, I think the slider makes a lot of sense for today. So
now, if you were a guest, how many of these burgers do you think you could eat?
Well, since they're going to be judging, I think that we're asking them to taste all of them at some point. But it's a lengthy evening. I think they've got 3 or 4 hours to get it done. And you know, I'd say don't just load up on the Food Network stars first. Just remember the little guys in the room. Come taste all of us.
Mark, did you have a question that you wanted to ask Ben?
Oh, I was asking Ben, what kind of bun are you using?
Oh, we're using a brioche bun. It's like a bread bar. I didn't make mine, and you know, I'm already feeling a little bit intimidated by you, Mark. So,
Mark, well, should he be intimidated?
I'm a little crazy, though. We made all these buns and we froze them, and this is in Manhattan. And then we've got dry ice, and we packed them up in coolers and mailed them down here. So we did go a little nutty with the burger buns.
So, did they arrive all right? I can't imagine coming down to this heat.
Oh no, they're great. You know, when you freeze them in dry ice, they stay frozen the whole way. They're absolutely fine. They come down FedEx in one day, and we put them right in the freezer here, and we'll get them all ready tomorrow afternoon and thawing them out. And we like to put them on the griddle with a lot of butter. They have to absorb a lot of butter. We always have to have a lot of good flavor going on there.
When
you toast them a little bit, they really start they start dancing for you.
Now, when you're making a burger, is it just supposed to be ground beef, or do you add breadcrumbs or mustard, or what do you do?
Well, for me right now, we're using 80/20 chuck. We're using the regular blend from Pat LaFreda. I'm pretty sure that's what we had ordered from them. We're using straight beef. To me, I'm not making a slider. I like to make the larger burgers. I think for me, it's the temperature of how you can cook it, and I feel as though I'm making regular sized burgers, and we're cutting them in four, so one burger is going to feed four people. Because, you know, when I did it 2 years ago, there's 3,000 people that descend upon you that want your burgers very quickly. So if you have to assemble one and cut it in four, it cuts down on the production time to be able to feed people. And also for me, I feel as though it's for cooking purposes, it's just a little bit easier.
Now, for us amateurs, couldn't we just go to the Publix grocery store and get ground beef, or do we need to get some special cut chopped for us?
You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I think people should get involved with their butcher. If you have a good butcher, you can get pretty inventive with your grinds and the different types of meat that you can put through your grinder. Majority of what you're seeing out there is probably chuck ground or a variety of some sort.
And it's 20% fat and 80% lean?
Well, that's a blend that we use in restaurants a lot. It seems to work really well for shrinkage and flavor. I mean, it's kind of the perfect in between. It cooks. We're used to how that kind of cooks. But you know, out there in the markets now, you see 4% fat, you see 10% fat, you see all kinds of stuff. But I definitely am a believer in fat as flavor. So 20% is all the way.
You're right. Joe Cooper is smiling.
Yes.
Very happy. Fat is flavor. All right.
That's my new motto.
So now you have to make enough burgers for how many people? 1,000?
Oh, gosh. I guess 2,000? Mark only has to make like 400 burgers or something. But I have to make 2,000.
So you must have help. I mean, somebody... You're not making all those yourself.
No, we you know, the Lee Schrager's team are very kind to allow us to bring a little bit of help along with us, and so we have that. Plus, we've got the great students that are from the campus at this
at FIU.
Yeah, FIU, yeah. And, mm-hmm. and this organization is desperate in need for an acronym, because the real name is the Florida International University Chaplain School of Hospitality and Tourism Management and the Southern Wine and Spirits Beverage Management Center. So I can't come up with a useful acronym for them, but if someone wants to give it a shot, I think it's important.
You know, I've talked to those students, and they are absolutely thrilled to be rubbing elbows with you guys.
Yes, one of my friends... daughters is going to be working there, and she just can't wait to do it. And we've been told in the past that the students who do work with you, and they do come and help, because I don't think this festival could be put on without the help of those students.
Well, Linda, why don't you put your apron on and flip some burgers?
You get lunch here every week, and you're about not to get lunch in 2 minutes here, okay?
You put your hairnet on.
There you go. So I want to ask you fellows, Emeril Lagasse originally, several years ago, dubbed the South Beach Festival as Spring Break for Chefs. So how have you been enjoying South Beach? What have you guys been up to?
Oh, Mark, you want to start with that one?
Well, I
Major
went
silence
to,
here.
Yeah, we're enjoying ourselves.
I got in last night with my team, and we went to Joe's Stone Crab. That was the first order of business. And then my team got up and went and sat on the beach, and we went over to prep for Burger Bash.
Yeah, you know, it is a lot of work. We come in here, and it's you know, we definitely do events where we don't see the outside of a hotel. But this was, we do have a little bit of time. I came in on Tuesday, and I like to spend a couple extra days here when I come down. Had a great meal at Pooh Belly last night. I've eaten some great restaurants while we've been here so far. So had a lot of fun.
So I don't know if you two are owning up to that. There's a lot of after hours for chefs.
Well, that kind of
silence.
Stuff. all that stuff starts tonight. Then the parties start off tonight. Really, this is today's the first real kickoff day, I think.
All right. And Ben Ford, I understand you're going to also be at the Q.
That's right.
And that's an event. What is that? Tonight?
That's actually tonight, yeah.
Yes.
We go down the beach in a couple hours from now, actually.
And to tell everybody, that's a barbecue event?
It's a barbecue event. They've got real hardcore barbecue guys out in the front in the uncovered area, and then when you get in the tented area, 30 or so more chefs, all sort of doing grilled items. We're doing a rack of lamb tonight. It's a fairly easy thing to do when you're doing back-to-back events. And we're doing it with a eggplant, a little bit of tahini, and a dill creme fraiche, but it's a little smoked tomato. But it's
Go ahead, Mark.
Sorry, are you cooking over Kingsford charcoal coals tonight?
You know, I don't know what they're going to give me.
That sounds
so.
Like okay. a plug, doesn't
no,
it?
No, all right. Well, on that note,
it does sound like it, doesn't it? Yes, I am.
The people that are using this charcoal—that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I hope actually the new stuff that they're using. They actually have a great new product that Kingsford's put out, so which gives a lot more heat and a lot more length to it.
Okay, well, we're just going to take a short break here. I've been talking with some stars for the South Beach Food and Wine Festival, Ben Ford and Mark Murphy. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more.
There are those who like their wine because it adds sophistication to that hearty meal they're serving to their friends. And there are those who like their wine because it helps in the creation of that party feel on which so much depends. Then there are those who like their wine to come from eastward-facing chateaus on the plateaus of the Loire and all that bunk. Their motives are not mine.
We return for today's topical current, Bonnie Berman.
Oh. Just wanted that line. Okay, and that's The Wine Song by Murray McLeod.
What a lovely song.
Just for Fred.
What a lovely song.
For Fred Tesker, wine columnist. Well, we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And our guests in the first half of the show were country music artist and Grammy Award winner Tricia Yearwood. She's the host of the Food Network's Southern Kitchen, and she's going to be hosting the South Beach Festival's Sunday Brunch. And we also had Food Network star Anne Burrell. She'll be hosting the Diamond Dishes event at the Marlins Stadium on Saturday night. And with us now, we've had Mark Murphy. He's a regular judge on the hit show Chopped. And we've had Ben Ford. He's the chef owner of Ford's Filling Station in Culver City.
That sounds like an interesting
California.
Place.
What? Ford's Filling Station. Filling Station. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'd be happy to have you.
It was a necessary metaphor at the time. You know, we were one of the first two gastropubs in the United States, and it was very hard to explain the concept, and we had to bring some nostalgia into the business and into the restaurant, and Filling Station came to me. So glad it did, just in time.
Great. Sounds good to us.
Or the table jukeboxes?
No jukebox. We play records.
Oh. Records. Whoa. Real records, huh?
Yeah, start to end.
Well, I wanted to let everyone know there are a few tickets that are still remaining for the festival, both Saturday and Sunday, the Grand Tasting Village. There's tickets available. And then there's some special price tickets for the Grand Tasting Village from 3 to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Fun and Fitness of Family, Kids Kitchen, and there are tickets there. And Trucks on Midtown Tracks. It's hosted by Andrew Zimmern. All these events have tickets available. For more information, the festival runs from February 21st through the 24th, and go to Sobe Festival, SOBEFestival.com. And Joseph Cooper, you were asking for if I could make you a burger.
Yes.
Well, I made you a curry chicken pot pie. Is that not
okay,
enough?
Okay, well.
Well, hello.
Not a burger.
That's my dinner in minutes today. It takes you less than 30 minutes. And it's so easy because I've used it roasted or cooked chicken, and then curry powder is added to the sauce, which gives it an intriguing flavor. It's a one-pot meal. I use a ready-to-bake, I'm afraid to say this in front of these chefs here, but a ready-bake crust to shorten the cooking time. And if you want to really shorten your cooking time instead of a crust, you could put on top of the pie some seasoned breadcrumbs, and then it'll only take you 10 minutes to cook that pie. So you just heat some oil in a skillet, add some curry powder, onions, green pepper, mushrooms, and you can get all those cut for all you right. at the supermarket. Saute it, add some flour and chicken broth, and then you put the chicken into the casserole pot, put the sauce on top, crust on top, and you cook it, you bake it. All of, by the way, all of my Dinner in Minutes recipes
follow the government nutritional guidelines.
That always sounds so boring, Linda.
That they're healthy? I'm sorry. How did it taste, Joseph Cooper? You gobbled it
up.
Excellent.
Remember, though, fat is flavor.
And the full recipe, and the delicious full recipe, is at dinnerinminutes.com. And also, please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, we started the program with this wine song. Are we going to have a wine list today?
Now I've got to live up to that, I guess. Well,
I guess
you do. When the South Beach Wine and Food Festival comes, two of the most popular events are the Grand Walk-Around Tastings that take place on Saturday and Sunday. And I always try to give some tips on, tell people how to act at these things so that they have the maximum enjoyment. And first, you have to take into account that the tasting is held in a big tent on the sand next to the ocean, and it's going to be 85 degrees and sunny. So you really need to dress cool. You need shorts, short sleeves, even flip-flops.
You're telling them how to dress as well as eat?
Absolutely.
A drink?
Yeah, you want them to act like they've been there before.
Okay.
This is sort of a curmudgeon's guide. That's what I call it. Second, and this is a really good warning, as you approach the wine tent, before you reach it, you will walk a gamut of beautiful, smiling young women bearing trays carrying, offering you hard liquor drinks.
Oh, darn.
And these are evil temptresses. You must not succumb to this, because if you have two martinis, then your palate for wine is just gone for the day. Third, when you approach the wine tables with your glass, they give you a glass as you enter the door. Don't expect more than about a 1 or 1.5 ounce pour. This is a tasting and not a fraternity keg party. And the fun and the education is in trying lots of different wines. And then for your palate's sake, it's a pretty good idea to start with the light white wines and go on to the heavy red ones as you go. Fourth, this is also a food tasting and not an army chow line. So take only your fair share of the grilled octopus or the beef or whatever they're serving and leave some for others. Again, it's a matter of the variety, not the volume. And as Linda always likes to point out, do not double dip in the guacamole, because we don't know where you've been. Finally, another good tip is to bring an autograph book, because you might rub elbows with Martha Stewart, Bobby Flay, Anne Burrell, and these are people who are going to be there, so you want to take advantage of it. Finally, you have to keep in mind that drinking wine for several hours in 85 degrees temperature is very taxing, and you have to stay hydrated. It's
you
a funny
should know.
Thing. Wine makes you thirsty. So they do offer free bottles of wine. They're all over the place and big buckets
free
of
free bottles
ice.
Of water.
Water, I mean, yeah,
yes,
not
right.
wine.
No,
right.
no, right.
And free bottles of water. So you have to stay hydrated. And finally, if you don't have a designated driver and you think you need one, stop on the way out and the people running the place will call you a taxi.
There you go.
So you want to get home
All
safely.
Right. Well, Mark Murphy and Ben Ford, are you prepared for this 85-degree weather in our wonderful city?
Absolutely. I love cooking shorts.
I mean,
absolutely. I did remember my shorts this time. Last time I had to go buy them because I forgot I was going somewhere warm.
So are you prepared then for tomorrow night?
Absolutely. We're prepared for tonight. We're prepared for tomorrow night. These are going to be some great events. You know, it's a real well-oiled machine, and we're happy to be a part of it.
So what are your predictions? Which one of you is going to win?
Oh, I don't know. He's got these great buns.
Oh. That's another story.
And the shorts to boot, I guess.
On that note, it's been a really wonderful, tasty week here. Mark Murphy and Ben Ford, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was great talking to you all.
Right. Good luck to both of you at the Burger Bash tomorrow night. Fred Tasker, wine columnist. Great advice, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Bonnie and Joe, you ate well today.
Certainly did.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. Well, next week will be our popular one-hour restaurant review program.
The Roundabout.
The Roundabout, yes. Oh, yeah. So tune in, because we'll be talking about all of the wonderful
Your favorite restaurants.
Restaurants. Yes.
You could even criticize a restaurant if you want.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be giving that number out. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
Hey, And thanks for listening this afternoon. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction by Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. Also thanks to Ed Bell. We have free audio archives and downloads of this and past programs at our website, WLRN.org. More information as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, it's again Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. We return Monday with an At Your Service edition about our beloved pets. An acclaimed veterinarian and a canine behavior specialist will take calls. We'll get that pooch straightened out. And the calendar. On this day in 1903, 110 years ago, the birth in Paris of Aeneas Nin, novelist, diarist, and erotic writer. Winter of Artifice, House of Incense. And on this day in 1947, 66 years ago, Edwin Land first demonstrates his Polaroid Land camera, which could produce a black and white print in 60 seconds. There are now digital versions available. Fred Tasker probably has some Polaroids of his past. One more while we ponder Malcolm Little and Omaha, Nebraska. On this day in 1965, 48 years ago, black Muslim leader Malcolm X is killed by 16 gunshots in a New York ballroom at age 39. It was the first day of Brotherhood Week. Actor Ossie Davis delivered his eulogy. And we leave with a thought from Malcolm X, whose funeral was held at Faith Temple Church of God in Harlem. Quote, "Power in defense of freedom is greater than power in behalf of tyranny and oppression." This is Joseph Cooper with Bonnie Berman, Fred Tasker, Linda Gassenheimer. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.